We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Buster Olney. Buster, good morning. How are you?
What's going on?
Buster, well, there was a lot going on yesterday as I was ranting and raving about Cash taking out Blake Snell. And I just, look, I did it for like 90 minutes, and then I had to talk about something else because I was driving myself crazy. And so you just tell me, what was your reaction to that move that altered Game 6 of the World Series?
It felt like seeing a train wreck develop over a 10-mile stretch of rails, where you knew when Blake Snell started, and he was dominant as he was first off, that there were going to be a feeling of, absolutely, this guy's having just a special night. You know, this is the Blake Snell who won the Cy Young Award. He had unbelievable stuff. I thought, just looking at his face, that he had, unusual focus. Mark Topkin, who covers the Rays for the Tampa Bay Times, had done a story on Tuesday morning talking to Blake's dad, and his dad said he's ready to go, like he's locked in, and it just looked like he was having one of those nights, you know, just like Sandy Koufax and the 63 World Series, and Bob Gibson in the 68 World Series against the Tigers when he had 17 strikeouts, or, you know, it's an ugly name, but Madison Bumgarner in the 2014 World Series. I know, sorry. And so you're watching that, and you're like, God, this guy's dominant, and he's making great hitters. Mookie Betts and Corey Seager and Justin Turner look terrible. And on the other hand, you also knew, how the Rays operate, and that they had an absolute belief that you want to get Blake Snell out before he faced the lineup third time through. And so when Austin Barnes looped that single into center field in the sixth inning, you're thinking, no, he can't take him out, right? He can't possibly, oh, my God, here he comes. And you're just sort of cringing. And let me tell you something. Kevin Cash is beyond being a great manager. He's a great guy. I thought he handled the aftermath of the game terrifically. You know that their numbers that they're looking at, and there's logic behind what they're doing. And on the other hand, I felt like in a moment it was a dumb thing done by a smart person. It was clear, and I called around to front offices with other teams yesterday, you know, to ask, and these are teams that are analytically driven, and ask, so what'd you think? And I got back unanimously that, hey, you know what, we all come up with plans, we all come up with scripts, we talked about things that might happen, but ultimately the game dictates your decision, and in their eyes, Kevin made a terrible mistake by not letting the game dictate what he was doing.
Do you think that in the eyes of the Rays organization, he made a terrible mistake? And the question being also, look, the analytics movement has shown small market teams like the A's and the Rays can win in the regular season. I can tell you for a fact, Buster, that I talked to people back when the Royals were in the World Series in 14 and 15 that they felt that approach can win you games in the regular season, but it's flawed when it comes to trying to win in the postseason. Do you think there will be any adjustment from the Rays in their thinking when it comes to the way they manage in the postseason versus the regular season after this?
No, I don't. And look, Eric Anders, the general manager, he's got a great relationship, as far as I know, with Kevin Cash, the manager. Based on what I was hearing in other front offices yesterday, I would not at all be surprised if Eric also privately, whenever he talks to Cash about that game, that his opinion may well be that that Kevin made a mistake in his decision there. But in terms of, you know, them changing the way they do business, absolutely not. You know, they've got one of the best teams in baseball. They've had consistently one of the best organizations in baseball. And it might be, you know, kind of an example of, to draw a local, you know, tie to you guys. Imagine George Brett just dominating the most mediocre pitchers on the mound and then having a bad at-bat against a bad pitcher. That's kind of the way I'm sure that the Rays people, if in fact they do agree that this was a mistake, are going to look at that, what Kevin did, and they will plow ahead. I will tell you, though, that I also believe that it will kick off a larger discussion about analytics in baseball and whether or not it's hurting the entertainment product, because that definitely did the other night. You know, we were watching a guy have an opportunity to do a special thing, and for him to be pulled out and to, you know, for the Rays again to turn to the parade of relievers just underscored a larger concern that people have about baseball.
Buster Olney is our guest. The other big story besides the Dodgers actually winning the World Series was Justin Turner, and MLB statement released a statement yesterday letting everyone know that there is an investigation and they're not happy. And so what's the fallout going to be of the Justin Turner situation?
I think he's going to get suspended. I don't think it's going to be a major suspension. Like, I don't think he's going to get 30 games or anything like that. If he got 5 games, it wouldn't surprise me. I think in some respects, it's a little bit like, you guys remember, I think it was the 17 World Series when Yuli Gurriel made the racist gesture, and I think he wound up getting like 4 games the following year. It's going to be like that because baseball feels like that, you know, it, you know, his choices in their eyes marred the end of what should have been a celebration for baseball to get through 60 games. You know, when idiots like me were saying there was a 0% chance to get through the postseason because of all the complications and the potential problems and holes and the health and safety protocol, everybody banded together, and they did a great job of getting baseball, the players, the staffers, medical people did a great job of getting everybody through the regular season, then into the World Series. And then the lasting image of baseball in 2020 is a guy who's just been told that he tested positive and he's sick, and he's told repeatedly by, according to MLB, by health and safety protocol people, look, you need to isolate. Justin, you're sick. You're carrying the virus. There's no questions about this. You're putting other people at risk, and he's ignoring them with some blunt words back their way. Then they definitely feel like that they need to come down with some discipline. Part of their investigation is also about whether or not there were Dodger people in that organization who were facilitating what Justin was doing in that moment. Yeah, I think in the end he's going to wind up getting a suspension.
So did they not, I guess, have anybody that was there with the clout to prohibit him from doing this? In other words, to force him to, hey, you're not allowed on the field right now.
Well, I, the best comparison I can make is, and anyone who's been a parent has wondered about these situations when, you know, you tell your kid, it's time to get up and go to school, and you figure that after the second or third time that the kid gets up and goes to school. Well, what happens when your kid says, literally does not move from the bed? And I kind of wonder if MLB, you know, got to that unexpected point where they just assumed, okay, when we tell someone that they're sick with a lethal virus, that person reasonably will decide, you know what, it's good that I can, make sure that people like Dave Roberts, who, is a cancer survivor, make sure that people like A.J. Pollock, who just had a daughter, Maddie, who was born prematurely back in March, and who had coronavirus himself back in June, that I would not want to put those people at risk. I think there's always the assumption is that once the person, whether it's a staffer or a player, would react in a way that would protect other people, but they were suddenly confronted with a situation where, you know, this person is saying no. And so what were they to do then? Handcuff him? arrest? They got to that tipping point where they weren't quite sure what to do when Justin, after they told him repeatedly that he was putting other people at risk and he was plowing ahead, then they were kind of in a difficult spot.
Mm. Buster Olney has been our guest, but Buster, before we run out of time, I want to talk to you about the upcoming offseason. I'm really interested to see what the Royals are going to do. You know, they have a surplus of young pitching and pitching prospects. Yep. There's a clear need for offense, for a bat. And so I'm curious if there may be a trade on the horizon. But I'm also curious if, you know, because there's some money coming off the books with Ian Kennedy and Alex Gordon, so I'm curious if they might go out shopping to try to find a bat. And we see the list of free agents that was put out there yesterday, but there's going to be some more players becoming available. But what type of offseason do you expect as far as the free agency market and the trade market?
Many many, many more players are going to become available. Yesterday, when the Cardinals did not pick up the option of Colton Wong, you know, age 30, right in the middle of his career, one of the premier second basemen in baseball, top 10 second baseman, when they didn't pick up an option for $12.5 million, that tells you how cold of a winter it's going to be. If the Royals have any kind of money to spend, any flexibility, there are going to be buy opportunities. Like in a depressed real estate market, my God, there are going to be so many good players who are available, and I'm guessing that the salaries are going to come down dramatically based on what we saw with clubs declining options yesterday. It's going to get really, really ugly. Let me give you an example. You know, I was talking with Jesse Rogers in the podcast that I do today about Anthony Rizzo of the Chicago Cubs. Under normal circumstances, the idea of picking up a one-year option for $14 million on someone as accomplished as Anthony Rizzo, that's a no-brainer. But under the current circumstances, when the free agent pool is going to be enormous and the supply and demand is going to work against free agents, you know what? A guy like that might be cut free. There's speculation in the industry Chris Bryant's going to be non-tendered. There are going to be so many players available, and it's part of the reason why, on one hand, if you're a team and you have money to spend, you can do some damage, and on the other hand, it really does not bode well for the conversation we're going to see in the industry this winter. I'm really concerned that it is going to be a long, long time before we see baseball again.
Oh, wow.
Elaborate on that, Buster. Yeah. Tell us, give us some more of why you think that's the case.
Agents have noted that a lot of these employees that have been laid off here in the last month from team to team are ticket salespeople, okay? So what does that tell you? That the teams are anticipating that they will not necessarily have at least the same volume of tickets to sell. As Hal Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, said in an interview last week, nobody knows where we are into where we're going to be in the spring of 2021 when it comes to fans in the stands. And yes, you know, these are billionaires and no one's going to feel sorry for them, but the industry lost money this year with fans not being in the stands. There's no assurance that's going to happen next year. So teams are going to make their adjustments, and if in fact they do that, then once again there will have to be a negotiated settlement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And we saw how long that took this year. And keep in mind that the CBA is set to expire between the two sides in December of 21. If you're the players and you're upset with the direction of the negotiations over a 21 season, you have a point of leverage there. And the question of whether or not you would want to give Major League Baseball access to postseason money. So there's just a lot of – it's like reading a weather forecast months out, but there are a lot of conditions which suggest, you know what? This could get really ugly before it gets better.
Man, that's. Well, I guess you got us ready for it, Buster. The worst part is everything you laid out. I'm sitting here nodding my head, going, "Well, that makes sense. That makes sense." It was really, and it doesn't seem like there's any desire. Man, Buster, we could go down a rabbit hole here, but I was telling these guys earlier, if it were not a league where the owners had been hell-bent on painting their own employees as cheaters, as bad guys and all that stuff in order to win their PR points in these labor battles for decades now, Mookie Betts should be as big of a star as there is in the United States as a professional athlete, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and I, you know, I everything you just said, you know, it's the relationship, as we talked a lot about back in May and June, is the most toxic that I've ever seen it between the Players Association, Major League Baseball, and while they did agree in the end with the gun of the reality, the calendar at their heads, the two sides did agree and they did a 60-game season and they got through the postseason. Tip of the cap for that. But there's absolutely, I didn't feel any carryover potentially into the next round of talks. And keep in mind, the context for those talks is going to be a winter in which the veteran free agents are going to get destroyed. Okay? So you're going to be hearing a lot the next 2 months about, Oh, my God, you know, so few players have signed. Oh, my God, the numbers are coming way down. How do you think the players in the association are going to feel about that as they sit down to talk about, okay, what do we do with the 2021 season?
All right. I've asked you about this situation before, but my final question, are the White Sox going to hire Tony La Russa? Because I kind of want this to happen just for a number of reasons. Does that look like that's going to happen here?
There are certainly a lot of signs that it's going to happen. You know, Tony La Russa has not managed since 2011. He's 76 years old. When his name first emerged, I was surprised. I had gotten the sense from, you know, Tony, I remember back in 11 that it was time. And given, you know, the changes in the sport, I would not have anticipated that he would necessarily want to dive back in. But I will tell you that among all owners, all 30 owners, I think Jerry Reinsdorf is maybe the most loyal that we've ever seen. And he's had a longstanding friendship with Tony La Russa. He's talked about a regret of letting Tony La Russa be fired as the White Sox manager back in the 80s. So it's within the realm of possibility. When I first saw it, the possibility, I dismissed it, and I thought, no, that can't be real. It is real.
I'll hope for that. Buster, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it as always, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you real soon. But again, we love having you on throughout the baseball season. I just want you to know how much we appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Well, and I love talking to you guys, and I'd say this, you know, everything I just laid out, sort of the doom and gloom of a potential winner for baseball, I hope that I turn out to be as wrong as I was when I said there was 0% chance they would get through the World Series. I really do. Because this involves a lot of people potentially losing their jobs.
And Buster, I just want to say that I'm glad you got to do baseball this year. Because you weren't the only one that was worried this wasn't going to be able to happen. And I'm glad you got to see it out to a conclusion in a really exciting World Series. So I'm glad you got to do that. And I'm glad we got to have you all year along with it.
And I'm glad you got your prediction right on the money. Dodgers in six.
I did get one thing right anyway.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, guys.
That's right. Hey, Buster, thank you.
Thanks again.
That's Buster Olney. We love him. He's been on the show for a decade and a half now. And hopefully he will continue to be on the show for years to come. Hopefully there is a show for years to come. Huh? Yeah? Wink, wink, nudge.
Hopefully there's baseball for years to come. Doesn't sound promising.
Oh, you just want to. I think there's enough pee in my Cheerios right now. You don't need to add to it. It was a sobering segment there with Buster. But it's the truth. But like you said, hopefully he's wrong, and hopefully things get figured out. Doesn't feel like it. But.
Yeah, my heart goes out to all the people and all the organizations that have been laid off here recently, because that's just you know, another reminder of what's been going on in 2020, and nothing that any of those people did to put themselves in that situation. It's just the circumstances, and it sucks.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.